And when it comes to giving your time, your talent, your treasure, we can say a lot of things. Well, you guys have a good afternoon. Bertha does not want me to point out, but they got to go. Love you guys. Oh, they're getting the thing. I thought you were leaving. I'm like, I don't know what to say, but we love you. And man, you're out of here. Okay. No, you're gonna pay. They're like, oh, that's our cue. Wake up, wake up. You know, we are fortunate, and our time, talent, and treasures is what we need to do. Here at the Orchard, we're a little different. We do membership yearly. That means everybody re-ups their membership. There's no lifetime members here. Well, I bought this pew and I can vote. Really? What happens when we get rid of the pews? All right? I've been a member here for 70 years. When's the last time you poured your life into somebody? Prayer or spend time with a little kid? Or what makes a member? And here at the Orchard, being a member is down with the mission, because we're a going church, not a coming church. Not just a coming church. We are going to take the fight to Satan. And with that in mind, we make budgets based on the call. With that in mind, we invite people from Traver to go up to man up with us. And we help young people who haven't got, you know, their financial feet underneath them yet, and we help sponsor them to go to camp. And I bring that up today because I very rarely do this, but we need you guys to amp up your decision to support this church. Not just with your monies, but we need every hand on deck as we move towards Easter and going to Traver. Either we're going to be down with the army of the Lord and we're going to go and kick in the gates of hell, or not. And so I want you to pray, as you look in there, those little cards you filled out on the backside of that tells you where we're at for the year. Our giving versus our budget. Now you're like, oh my goodness, CJ's talking budget from the pulpit. Where your money is at, the Bible says, there your heart is. Or if you're Irish, there's your heart. And I'd like to challenge you on your heart. We have had the blessing as a church to walk with a number of families this year, to see them going from a deficit in their life to having God overflow in their lives. They're not millionaires by any means, but they're victorious. And now the finances work for them as stewards of God instead of them working for the finances. And if you want to be set free, set your heart free first. Now, that's a process. So I'm really calling you to gut check. So when you take a look at that and you see where we're at in the deficit, I want to challenge you to give. We got the sponsorship. Dave, how many guys have we sponsorship today, this last week? Six. We need about three more people to be sponsored, step up. Each person was $135, and you ate like a king. And you had a great time. And who went up there last week? Even if you only went for a day, come on. You know, we go up there with four by. We got to run we ran a range for about 300 people, 250 to 300. We had skeet shooting going on with another guys from another church. They had a cannon, a little bitty cannon. It's only a 55 millimeter. I mean, it's not like the one, you know, we have, but who's judging? Why would you say that? Isn't this why you guys go sit down so you don't get in trouble? I feel like I'm on a Johnny Cash show. Not Johnny, late night. Carson. Johnny Carson. Thank you. You know, hey guys, when we do ministry, it costs. But the payoff is so much more than just money back. It's lives changed. Period. That's what we're into. Jesus Christ changes lives. He doesn't adapt them. He doesn't just merely refurnish them. He absolutely remakes things so that he says, old things are gone. The new has come. That's what we're about. So I want you to think about that. Time, your talent, and your treasure. As we pray and we take offertory. Again, though, if you're visiting, We like to say at the Orchard, this one's on us. This is a gift to y'all that you can enjoy and hang out. If you, as a visitor, say, well, I always give to my church, then I double dog dare you to do that. Give out of joy. Give out of sacrifice. And give because you know Jesus Christ has already won. And we're just financing the win. Amen? With everything we got. Because when we go home, we want nothing left in the trunk. It's all going to be used for Jesus Christ. In fact, I heard somebody say, I want my last check to bounce for the IRS. You know how I like that. So, just to encourage you, when we make a budget, we intend to make that budget work for us. We're not the federal government that hasn't had a budget for 3 years. We're the church who finances, resources, and lives to the glory of the Lord. And he's been so good to us, hasn't he? So let's pray about that because we're about to get into a season, the harvest season. And y'all know what that means. Trucks and ladders. Going all the time. We've always read it. Pray for the harvest because it's white for picking. It is absolutely white for picking. If you've never been in a church that's been involved in seeing whole communities come to know Christ, we are not going to settle for anything less than that. Because this is where Christ changes people first. Us, and we take that message outward. And we're not done until every one of you is a missionary to your world. Until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you work all this stuff out, the King of Heaven, the High Regent, and you, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the ruler of all on earth, and us being your children, called out from the beginning of the world to your glory for good works you've prepared beforehand. May we not underestimate you and your timing. May we not be caught like those women, the virgins at the wedding party who were not prepared, didn't have oil in their lamps, and they were too late to go buy some more, and they missed the coming of Christ because they were not prepared. May we not be off guard today in our lives. As we start our week fresh with you, Jesus, you are the foundation of what we live out because you set us free that we might be called children of the Most High God and live in your righteousness. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys so much. Man, it's great to hear the hymns, isn't it? Not because we're forced to sing them, but because we love to sing them. In our church, we got something going on. I dig it. We love all generations in this church, and we want to hear all their heart music. And the kids right now, they're going to go back, and what we do with children's churches, we're teaching them to grow up to be adults who worship God. We're not teaching them to be children. We're growing them to be adults. I think that's a big difference between this and the world. We grow them to be adults because someday they're going to be called on to make adult decisions like giving up their life for Christ. How do they make that decision unless we start now? It's really, before you guys go, you kids, listen to me. Real quick, listen. Back there, you listening? One of the books that are going around today is about a young woman who became a missionary out of a drive of her own heart to Africa and Uganda. You guys know the name of the book? What is that name? Kisses for Katie or from Katie? From Katie. And the idea behind that is this girl was motivated. I ask, what was her church like and her parents? Because that church rocks. Those parents were focused. They brought up a girl to do that. And that's what we're doing with these guys and even those girls and that guy there and those girls back there. All of them were training up to go reach the world. So as these kids move out today, let's give God a hand for what he's given us with these kids. So move out. Go to Children's Church because they're getting trained to be missionaries. They may not be able to find the bathroom in time, but we'll get them there. At this time, go ahead and greet people around you. Make sure they understand it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Really? How do they know you're yours? No. You need to scrub behind your ears because that's kind of dirty. All right, quit arguing over the sunglasses. Hey, you might want to do this. There's a blue insert that you can take notes on. I wanted to explain this real quick because just to help you guys as I preach. My sermons are expository, meaning we preach through the Word of God, not necessarily from Genesis through Revelation, although that's the way it's compiled in the canon and the Scriptures. But those aren't necessarily chronological. Most of the books are thematic, too, and they're not chronological themselves. But taking a chunk of Scripture and keeping it in its context and letting Scripture tell us what God wants to be preached, not us coming to Scripture saying, how am I going to find the Bible verses to support my point? That's a very different way of doing things. 2 weeks ago, we did a service that was thematic, meaning we had a theme, and the whole service fit into that theme, right, through the Lord's table. The problem is, I had promised something to you, and I did not keep my end of the bargain. I had promised at the end of this service that we were talking about Traver and the call to Traver, why we're going there. And then Steve Ramirez and his family, Steve got up and he spoke, and we had other people speaking about why we're going there. I was supposed to give you guys a question and answer time to kind of, so we can talk to each other as a church family. Now, some people might wonder, why don't we have a special meeting where we do that? Because it'll be the same seven people. And most of them are on the board. You know, and then it's the two people who don't like what you're doing. And they seem like a majority.
Because other people are like, I'm with you. I'm not going to go to a meeting. I'm already there. And the other people who aren't so there, they show up and it seems like, well, they're the majority when they're not. And it's not a majority versus the minority. It's understanding versus not getting it yet. And it's not because you guys aren't smart enough. It's because we're doing something weird. I have to admit that to myself. But I come from a Christian camping background where if I have to throw a kid off a rock to get him to think about Jesus Christ, I'll do it. You know, of course, we'll have somebody on belay. We might wait a while before we kick in the brakes to stop him from plummeting to his death. And normally that gets a very good return on, you know, who wants to know Jesus? Who's up to rappel next? But who wants to know Jesus? You know, and we don't want to manipulate you to be there. But I want to let you know a few things as we go about this. And talk about us not as individuals only, but us as a body of Christ. How many of you Christians have tried to live your faith without being connected to a loving, nurturing church? I'll raise my hand. I've done it. I'm one of those guys where I have to do it wrong at least three times. Because at one time, it's like I wasn't going hard enough. You know, like as a kid, if you're jumping out an aqueduct, you know, and you think you crash, what's the design difference? You need more of a ramp on the other end, right? You got to go faster. If you just go faster, you know, so I have to make mistakes that way. Two, three, four times. Try it from a different angle. Oh, that still blows up. Well, that was cool. You know, or I set my hand on fire. Well, don't tell Mom. You know, you make mistakes or you approach subjects and it takes a while to get to understand something that we don't see happen very much anymore. The church, as God's gospel deliverer, has disappeared in the last 40 years. Part of that is because we have awesome parachurch organizations that were capable of working across denominational lines to reach whole city groups, like with the Billy Graham Crusade, right? Or, you know, you Calvary guys, what do you have? Greg Laurie? Is there anybody from Calvary? Come on. Yeah, we got the Harvest Crusade, right? With those guys, what do the Evangelical Free Church do? Yeah, we got Chucky, but he left us because he wanted to start a different church up in Texas. But it sure seems like as a denomination, with the word evangelical in our name, we ain't so good at even evangelicalizing. It's not a word, but it will be. That we're not good, even though we have a great message, even though we're not hindered by a lot of church tradition, meaning for us, we're capable of being the church we need to be in whatever community God puts us in, and we're not tied down to traditions that were created 800 years ago that were initially teaching opportunities, and those teaching opportunities were made into a tradition that now is equal to the Word of God. We don't have those things. Well, let's be honest. We have had those things. In this church, though, they've roasted almost every sacred cow we can find. Why do I bring that up to you? Turn to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10 was not written to individuals. Romans 10 was written to people groups. Two basic people groups, or Romans in general, the whole thing. Two basic people groups and Romans. Jews and all the other. And if you weren't a Jew, you were called a Gentile. Not because you were gentle, but you weren't of the chosen people of Israel. And in Rome, it had gotten to the point where the Jews had become so prosperous and God was blessing them that the Roman government, much like the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Egyptians, noticed that these guys, we need to tax a little more because they're prosperous. We need to cut down on them. See, these Jews are taking good jobs away from us Gentiles, us Romans. And at one point in the Roman... Does that sound familiar, by the way? Just remember, we're all immigrants. All right? And these Jews were in the capital of Rome, and they were kicked out. And guess what they did with all those businesses? Well, either the government took them over, or the Jews that were in a Christian church with Gentiles, gave their businesses and their properties to the Gentiles while they left Rome. Well, some of them didn't leave far. They went across the Mediterranean, or they went to another area across the way to Spain, or any number of areas, but they couldn't be in Rome. And so they entrusted their Gentile friends or servants, because there were even indentured servanthood back then, to take this beautiful thing that they've made, these businesses, and care for them, because they knew sooner or later that nutbag Caesar is going to die. Because although they think they're gods, they tend to die. Just, if you don't believe me, wait. They'll die. And that was what they did with their businesses. Now, if you're a Christian and you're a Jew and you've planted churches or the church in Rome, this Christian church, because remember, Jesus Christ is Jewish. All the apostles were Jewish. Our faith is founded in the Jewish nature of our Messiah, Messiah, the anointed one. Now, he's not anointed for Gentiles. He was anointed for Israel as their prophet, priest, and king. And so when they found a church, guess what it was? Pretty doggone Jewish. Why? If you're going to make the stew, guess what? You get to make it your way, right? Well, when they got kicked out and all these Gentiles were left for about 15 years, these people leading the church, growing believers. We have to even imagine talking to Paul that they had not just stayed in Rome. They were moving out into the countryside of Italy. And then when these Jews came back, guess what they wanted? Number one, give me my job back. Give me my business. How'd it go? You know, did you make money here? And there was a lot of that going on. Number two, when they came back to their church, guess what they wanted to be? In charge, right? Because we're Jews and you're not. You're just Gentiles. Now, Paul didn't plant this church. It was planted before Paul got there. And he wrote this letter to the Romans to get them straightened out on this whole ethnicity thing and who leads in church. And what does it have to do with your spiritual background when you bring it into the church? How do we have Christians, Jewish, to them, being Christian and being a Jew was natural. It was the Gentiles were kind of out of place. But as you read the Old Testament and the New Covenant, it said there are going to be people that were not my people, that will become of my people, and they're going to be in this new thing where the Holy Spirit is what unites everybody, not the law. Because Christ has fulfilled the law. For you Jews, you can keep doing those acts because you are Jews. It's part of your Abrahamic commitment. It's part of your worshiping community. But realize when Passover drastically changed with Christ. Because if he's the fulfillment, do you need to go to Jerusalem every year? No. Things really changed for the Jews. So they made a lot of changes. But one thing they weren't going to give up was our feasts and those sort of things. Because, you know, let's face it, if you're circumcised, it's hard to get uncircumcised. It's normally one thing, you know, just do it once, and we will never speak of it again. You know. So there was a big change going on, and there was arguments about who should rule the church. Us Jews, who are of the lineage of Abraham, and whose Messiah is of the tribe of David, and how are we going to get through these big changes, and how are we going to get along? Then why am I reading this to you? If we're going to be a church that takes the gospel to Traver, are we asking them to be like us, or who God calls them to be? So you got to start off right off the bat understanding that, because we're not going there to create some white bread church in Traver. However, the DNA we are going to plant into them is a church planting, kicking in the gates of hell church. And that translates into any language. How do I know? I got a chance to pray with a Hispanic couple at Children's Hospital. After leaving Evan and Jay and Lisa. See, I go to classes here too. And when my people say, you need to go out and practice praying with strangers in our evangelism class, Which is tonight. All right, double dog dare you, unless you like people going to hell, come to the evangelism class and learn to share the gospel. Or what you're saying is, I already know and I do it all the time. So if you're already doing it, don't come. Now that sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? But it's like me telling infantry soldiers, you don't have to go to the range if you shoot 40 out of 40. The rest of you knuckleheads need to get out here and shoot. You need to learn to engage the enemy. Well, I only like sitting in yellow pews. Well, you know what? There's coming a point where we probably will get rid of these pews, and if you want, I'll sell it to you. You can take it. Go ahead and pay me right now, $200 for that pew. Take them out of here. By the time we get there, it'll be more expensive. But if you buy them now, then you can just sit on your yellow pew all day at home and not have to go do Christian stuff like sharing your faith. And I walked into this little chapel. There's a Hispanic family there. And after my life, my family's into farm labor contracting, farm management. So when I go in and I see a Hispanic family, I immediately go, are they Oaxacan or where are they from? Because you get to know the different tribes, Mexican tribes, and who they are. And I forget in so much Spanish, it really is a shame on me. And so I walked in and I asked them if a chaplain had come, and they said no. And they weren't looking me in the eyes. And I said, I'm here because one of our children from church is here in the PQ. And they looked and they said, Nina in the NICU. And I know what Nina means because it's a little baby girl. And I just stopped. Can I pray with you guys? You know what they did? They jumped off the bench, got down on the knees, threw their hands into the air, and we prayed. And God translated our language to the hearts. I spoke English, they spoke Spanish, but we spoke the faith together with the Lord. So as we read Romans 10, I want you to get this so deep in your gut that it may keep you up at night. And if you come from another church, I hope this burrows so deep that you go to your pastor and say, Pastor, can I talk to you? Board, can we talk about what you're doing, what we're doing? You see, at that point, I realized in that hospital, I was helpless unless I lived my faith. And I could be a victim of, like most people are in there, or we can be victorious in Christ and we can take the battle right to where it needs to be, at the feet of our Savior. And so when we prayed, I left there so encouraged. They left there, I guess, because they were happy and they wanted, are you a chaplain here? Are you going to come by? I'm like, no, I hate hospitals. I don't like going to them. But we were so united in the faith in that moment. There was no Hispanic versus white, illegal versus legal. All you had was Christ. And in the end, guess what all you're going to have is Christ. So let's read this thing as if God actually meant it and you actually want to apply it, because I know you do, or you wouldn't be here today. Romans 10. And I'm going to start in verse 8. But what does it say? And he's talking about the law and the writings. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. And the word of faith there, when they say faith, they mean the wholeness of our faith, the content of our faith. Not just the feeling of faith, because feeling can come and go, yeah? When you're in a hospital, feelings can change based on some stupid little thing that goes, dee, 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 all of a sudden. And you go, Pastor, can you step off that tube, please? Oh, sorry. You know, feelings can change so quickly. But the faith is based on content. And the content is Jesus Christ and his apostles. Not Jesus Christ, his apostles, and somebody who wrote a book and it's a Berean. It's Jesus Christ and his apostles. The content, the rule of faith amongst us all. That when I read this, I can look at you in the eye and go, we have the same faith, right? Because it's coming out of the same place. The same Lord that died for me, Jesus Christ, Did he die for you? Yes. Have you accepted him? Yes. Are you a new creature in Christ? Yes. So what are we going to do about it? As a group, not just as individuals, because there are people who just do not like me. And some of them are in my family. So even if my family doesn't like me, it's strangers. But they could like you. You could be that person in this church that reaches them that I could never reach. And we're a team. So we're going to start here. But what does it say? And I love that. In the EV Free, we say, where does it find its feet in the Word? Or how does it stand in the Bible? The Word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. So it starts out there. It moves to here, but it comes out of here. Meaning, it goes out near and around you, but it's an inverse. It's near because it's here, and it's here because it started here first. But notice, it didn't stay here. It went from here and went all around. So anybody in your scope of influence is what he's talking about. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, which that "and" there is kind of funny because it sounds like two different things. In Greek, though, it's probably better to say, that is to say also. So try that. That is to say also. Say that with me. That is to say also. Let's reread that. That is to say also. Take that "and" out and put in that phrase. That is to say also. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and take "and" out, that is to say also, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. They're one and the same coin. They're not two different steps here. You will be saved. The idea with that is there's nothing that can unsave you. You will be saved. It's a historical present. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. And we believe what that means. You're declared just, right in God. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That as you confess, that is the proof of your salvation. As you're going around confessing, not just once, but a life of confession of Christ. Over mundane things like a 1968 Pontiac Firebird that God was having some strange Chinese lady from Southern California came up with her husband and she starts evangelizing me and going off. Do you know Jesus Christ? Yeah, I do. And I didn't tell her I was a pastor because that normally ends most conversations. I'm like, I'd like to hear where this is going, you know. And this chick starts telling me how she needs to, my kids need to be saved and everybody needs to, and she is just professing Christ all over the place, right? Isn't it funny? And you know what? The next week, my son came to know Christ. And I was sharing with her how my son doesn't know Christ yet. And she goes, well, I'm just going to pray and pray and pray on that. I'm like, well, you do that. Don't forget the little blonde girl because she's going to need it. Mention her because we got to work on that one. But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that is to say also that you believe in your heart, and that word there is pistis, faith, trust, believe, that in the guts, that word heart is not your emotional center, it's your character center, who you are at a gut check level. It's not emotive. Most of you read heart as emotive, right? Because we live in this sissy country where most of the TV shows have psychiatrists telling us how to live instead of the Bible saying, have faith, live faithfully. It says, in the very guts of who you are, pistis, faith, trust, believe. That's at the heart, the center. And without that, you're a zombie, basically. You ain't got no life. Not good English. Gets the point across. Because in Christ is life. For with the heart one believes and is justified, declared righteous in Christ. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Swede and Irish. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name, that is the reputation. That word means the rep. The reputation. And his reputation is so strong, we gave it a name named Jesus. Christ. Our Lord. It's a title. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Swede and Mexican, or Mexican and Puerto Rican, or Puerto Rican and Spanish, or Portuguese and those from the other places that aren't Portuguese. And you know who you are who think that way. For everyone, Lottie Dottie and everybody, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Period. Well, maybe they're illegal. Does it change that verse? It might change how they live after that verse, if indeed by grace we treat people. How about how much money you make? How smart you are? What deficits you have. We already know that one. It says the foolish things of the world, God calls those people in Christ so that the foolish things of the world can confound Mr. Smarty Pants and all the friends of Mr. Smarty Pants who look at religious people as stupid. And I've got to tell you, I'm at the point where anymore I cannot look at one political party at all because they do not believe God rules. And I'm just sick and tired of everybody treating it the same. It's not. Republicans go to hell. Democrats go to hell. But one party has chosen to be God. Because when they can look, and you know me, I have no problem talking about the difference between denominations. But when they can look the Pope in the eye and say, you're stupid. We're going to tell you how to run your religion. You see, Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And give unto me what is mine. But when, and this is not scriptural, but this is a Christian response to that. But when Caesar thinks he's God, who do you trust? Caesar or Jesus? April 15th is a wonderful worship day. What do we do on April 15th? We send our tithes, right? Yeah? Yeah? And if not, some deacon from the IRS comes and gets your money from you with a bunch of other deacons because they made a budget. Oh, they haven't made a budget. Never mind, I'm going off. That's not even, we don't need to go into there. Everyone who believes, the idea is everyone will be saved. But here's the gig, and this is where we're going. And my associate, Dave has spoken this to us as a leadership team, and this is a call to you. And if you're visiting, you're going back to your church, write this one down because you will know if you're in the right church. When you say this and you approach your elders or your board or your pastor, however you guys run it, you approach these guys with this verse with the right heart, which is the heart of service, you'll see what kind of church you're in. Okay? Here's a litmus test for them. You ready? Because we have to live according to this every day at the Orchard. We made that commitment. There ain't no going back. The ships are burning in the bay, and I'll never go back to Egypt again. Ain't going back there. No more. Listen to this. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to do that? Well, we got three buildings in town, and they're called churches in Traver. Really? Are those churches reaching out, supporting, engaging, fighting the spiritual battles in that town? Or did they just put up a sign and say, we'll see you at Saturday and Sunday at these times? We're talking different. We're talking an engaged warfare. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Last night, Rick Alonzo, Sonny Martini, a pastor, got up at Rick Alonzo and preached this. And he talked about Rick when Rick was really nimble. You remember when he was really nimble and he could put his foot up in the air? Remember that when he would paint with his feet, the top of a painting? There's a reason we haven't seen that lately. Right, isn't there? Yeah, he's nimble. He ain't that nimble anymore. But the idea was, even Rick's feet present the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, as it is written. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what has been heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and the words to the ends of the world. But I asked, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I'll make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold to say, I've been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. We are going into, and I love that, make no mistake, men and women, I intend to take you into harm's way. Because that's where Jesus goes. To live and walk as Jesus did, Joel Weldon's song, is the best a man can do. And as a church, we are one body. Read Romans 12. It says, multiple sacrifices, multiple people, one sacrifice. And for those of you that know what it feels like to try to live your Christian life without an engaged church that has your back and that you're excited to meet with them because they're going to kick in the gates of hell, those of you who haven't experienced that, I want to invite you to a faith that is enough to live and die for. The kind of faith that in such a dark world, you'll bring up children with the hope and admonition of the Lord so that they can live sacrificially and maybe die for somebody else to know Jesus Christ. And if we're not that kind of church, may God shut this place down. Now you go, what after Traver? Well, it may take 5 or 10 years for Traver, but they're going to plant a church. And then we're going to plant churches. And then those churches will plant churches. And who knows, maybe we'll see God's hand settled for a while a second explosion of evangelism goes on. And it starts in places like Selma, Traver, London, Layton, Carruthers, all the big cool towns. People can have Fresno. I want the cool towns. Shafter, Wasco, Lamont, Arvin, Edison. I've been to every one of those picking oranges. God can do big things through small numbers. So I'd like to open up to you now. There's some questions. I had mentioned some early to you, and I want to get your mind in a framework. So I'm going to end us in prayer here. We take a couple minutes to just ask some questions. And if we can't answer them now, I'm going to come back next week and we're going to deal with them. Because when we go there, we're going to go there as one body, one mind, one spirit, one gospel under the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all right? Heavenly Father, as we consider the plan that you've been laying on our hearts, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I know nobody mouths off to you in heaven. Well, here's the problem, Lord. Even though in heaven they can see you personally and they know you're there, on earth, we have to exercise our faith. And that's where the rub comes, Lord. Because some of us, sometimes, we've been trained to live by tradition, live by personal conviction, but not according to the rule of faith that is your word, Jesus. And so now as we approach this issue, Lord, may we out of good conscience bring up issues that may have been addressed or need to be addressed. But all these things, Lord, in the end, we say, yes, Lord. And we move together, whatever that may be. But we know you're calling us to Traver. Why? Because we can see the hearts and mind prepared for harvest. And if we don't do this, Lord, we don't deserve the talents you've given us. And we don't want to be a two-talent church or a four-talent church. We want to be exponentially used by you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here's the deal. And you can get up and say it. So you guys stretch a little bit. Somebody give me what you think is the number one problem with moving from this spot as a church to Traver. What do you think that is? It's kind of like the Family Feud show. Yeah, Cody. Gangs? Traver is a threatening place. The gangs. Okay, let's say there's a spiritual battle. Evil versus good, and we're actually coming in there to do battle. It may get a little ugly. Can anybody answer his concern? Okay, Dad of Cody. This might get a little ugly. Go ahead, Pops. Kevin, how do we handle that? Men of Christ, loving them. Well, there's a good, okay. So, but that, let's be aware of that. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities. We had another question back here. Yes. So there's a comfort zone issue too, right? Are we in Jesus Christ called to a comfortable life? Can you guys quote me a Bible verse that maybe Jesus has said that, not you, Cody, golly, you want a big, yes, in the back, what's your name? Celestine. Awesome. Celestine, talk to me. What verse would address that issue? Oh, you're quoting scripture. All right, what is that? Yeah, where do you think he went? When you got a cross on your back, where do you think you're carrying it to? Gilgotha, right? Yeah, very good. Awesome. What are you doing here? Where are you from? Well, it's good to have you. Welcome. Welcome. Oh, you're part of the crew? You guys are going to be rolling out. Are you going to Mexico too? Not you? Well, you can join us in Traver. How about that? We got multiple levels. All right, any other issues you can think of? Yeah, back there, Ruth. Yeah, that's a very valid one. Some people, and you go, well, they need to be here all year round, neener, neener. What if this is that introductory opportunity for them to know Christ, to be in a church? You know, what are we going to do then? We've talked about that as a staff, and we're going to be advertising in the newspapers. In the front of our church, we're going to let them know we're not here. We're going to give them information to good churches within the area right here. You know, how to go down to Draper Street and, you know, just throw a baseball and go to whatever church it hits. You know, we're going to really get them there. Or, you know, we love Pastor Pinner and the MB down here. To me, that's where I just go right down there. These are great people. You know, or they can come to church. Just get in your car and travel 8 more miles down the road. Part of the principle for that is, we have a song. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. We're going to lift your name on high, but not in Traver, because that's too far. Okay, God went from here, and in Philippians it says, he debased his very nature as God to be here with us. Yet we won't debase our nature from here to go to Traver. Now, there's an option, right? Okay, let's say we want to make options, because in America, we like options. What's an option that we could do? Anybody got options? Oh, I see. No. Your son has. What are you? Hot Wheels? Okay. No. Yes, Chad. Yeah, we can have a service here, and then we can have a service in Traver. Guess what the problem with that is? Where's the church? It's in, no, You can't divide, the house divided cannot stand. So there's only one church. Guess where the church is? So what are you doing here? Well, like a bunch of Christian, I don't know, Lions Club people get together. The church is only in one place. Well, aren't these other churches? Yes, then go there. But this is a building. This is a packing house. We bring fruit in and we ship it out. That's all this is. We are the church. We are the orchard. And when the orchard, by what we believe God's led the elders to do, and in this church, that's what you guys have said by constitution and the word of God, we're going to Traver. Why? Because we're going to plant churches. Why? Because that's what this church has always done. That's the call of the Evangelical Free Church Missions, Kingsburg. That's our original name in 1904. We were to be the first church in this valley on the West Coast. And guess what the expectation was? Plant churches. Pretty cool, huh? We're just getting back to our call. Any other concerns you might have? Yes. So we're going to go into a place that is primarily of a works-based oriented, and let's not say there isn't faith in there, okay, because they're exercising faith to what they have, but we're presenting them something different, right? And it's almost a culture class, because Catholicism isn't just mere religion, it breeds culture, isn't it? Isn't there a culture? A part of your family background, what you do together? I mean, you got to love a church that's created. It has such impact that it has created culture. I wish the EV Free would create a better culture with people around us. So we're kind of bumping up against some of that, but guess what? The gospel and the word of God prevails because of whom? The Holy Spirit. It's not us arguing them into a position, because that's not the gospel we're taking. We're not saying renounce anything else. We're saying trust in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And then we're going to build a church that wants to take on and kick in the gates of hell. That's our brand. So thank you. That has been one that's come up a number of times. You get a star in your fridge. Yes. There's dignity amongst the brethren. That's what, yeah. So wash their feet, right? Get down on your knees. We all, yeah. Come in and we're not here because you need some white church. You need a Jewish savior, you know. Yeah, don't look like JWs when you roll up in that joint. Because they're used to that.
I don't think we need to wear suits, folks, jeans, blue jeans and shirts.
Well, I would say dress your conviction. If you like dressing up and you always dress up and that's who you are, be genuinely who you are. Right? We're going to be genuine. Because guess what they're going to see on Monday? The genuine us. Genuine is going to speak a lot further than anything else. Any other fears you might want to address, you guys? David, then we'll come back to you, Ruth.
I am concerned that we have the faith necessary to accomplish this. I know that Christ would often say, you have faith that you can heal. And sometimes we're in places where there was no faith and people were doing miracles. You know, Scripture says that we have faith the size of a mustard seed. You know, I want to be with folks that have a prayer and a faith warriors that believe that Christ can do something there and go in there.
So if we had a faith that said to this church, move from here to Traver, it would be moved? If we can move a mountain, it can move us. See, I think we get the faith we need to do the job he called us to. And to exercise and deliver that faith, at some point you got to do what? Take a step. Step off. And that's what all this is, guys. This is a step off to let God ignite us to whatever He wants to do with us. We're getting short on time. So, Ruth, and then if you have any more questions, please, please, I'm begging you, email one of us pastors. Probably better to email other pastors than me, because you know me, I don't do well with email. Facebook is this, you know, us sitting down talking. This is my Facebook, you know. Go ahead, Ruth. We are working with a local church to help them get strong enough, because there are churches in that town. But we're working with a local church that helping them get strong enough to be that disciple maker. And if in the next 6 months they don't get up to speed, we're going to plant a church. Now, here's the deal, though. What if we didn't go? You would not have that problem at all, would you? You know what we need? We need a parachurch organization that is in that town with opportunities for us to minister to. There is, what is that? CAPS? There's your answer. In the interim, we work through CAPS to continue to disciple these kids. We have quite a few of them that are coming to, you know, quite a few that are coming. But we're going to make more contacts. We got a young man named Daniel who went up to a camp with us last week. And if you guys are from this town, you read on Wednesday about a young kid that had a trouble at the school with knives. Did you read about that? You know, this school, the schools are so wimpy anymore. If they would have seen my PT folder back in the 80s, I would have been locked up in an insane asylum. He's just drawing pictures. And some guy said he was going to hurt people in school because he's a big, weird kid, and he's a white kid from Traver. You know, he went to camp with us all weekend and spent the weekend with us worshiping God. Now, he had to figure out who are these weird people and wake us up all night long the first night. But see, we're talking about people and having a plan to disciple them. That's why I don't like doing evangelism without a church. Because if you don't have it, what are we doing? Well, but here's the difference, though. There's only so much you can do through CAPS. There has to be a church. There has to be. There's no organization in the New Testament other than the church. Got that? The church is not the problem. The church is the solution. The problem is you have churches that are existing for themselves and not to kick in the gates of hell. That's the problem. And we'd rather work through a church that could do that, but if they can't do that, I'm not going to wait for them very long. That's their problem. That's their problem, and their denomination will help them, and to the extent we can be part of that, great. But if they're not going to get on board, guess what? We win because Christ has won. We run to win. We don't run to tie. I'm not in this faith to tie. You guys in the faith to tie? You know, and if it threatens other churches, then plant churches. We double dog dare you. We'll go at it toe to toe. What if the church of all of us in Christ Jesus said, we are done seeing churches close. We're going to get busy about planting churches, winning people to Christ, and we're going to go nuts on it until Christ comes. Isn't that a cool thing? Or we can sit around going, I don't want the Church of God to get mad at me or the Catholic Church. Or even, hey, I'll tell you, if we plant a church in Reedley, we're planting a church not far from an EV-free church. And if they don't like it, they can do more evangelism. I'll say that to an EV-free pastor. You don't like it? Save people. Engage that college over there and read. You want people? Go into that snake's den and say, Jesus Christ has come. Or you can just sit down and go, that's a tough school with bad theology. And those people are teaching our kids horrible things. Shut up and engage them. You know, and that's where I'm at. I'm going to be really honest. I'm at the point as a pastor, be quiet or get out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Because nothing's stopping Christ from going to the cross. And nothing's going to stop us from living a cross life. It's not a tradition. It's a faith. It's gut check time. Not only for us, but for America. And if we can't do it here, then we got no business bragging about going anywhere else. Because these kids come to our high school. These are our strangers in our land. And in the New Testament, the Old Testament principle, if you have strangers amongst them, you love them according to the dictates of the faith. And then you hold them accountable to that faith and you grow them and you make them right. What else are we going to do? Or we can sit around and point at people going, those people, them. You know what? It's us. We can blame everybody else. It's us. But Christ is coming. Any other kind of questions? Yeah, Joel. This summer. And we already have testimony out of CAPS. We have 6 of the 10 people at CAPS are from this church. We're already there. They just deserve to be supported by a church. Yeah, and Young Life is over there too. Okay, the more we get into this, here's the deal. The more, if you were to really see what's going on there already, and we don't act on it, I think God will take talents away from this church. Because we have act, the superintendent of that school district goes to this church. He has stacked that, and I hope the ACLU is not listening. That church is stacked with Christians. But if they're only working individually, guess what all they can do? They can proclaim the gospel, but they ain't making disciples to go around the world. That's what churches do. And it's time for a church to stand up and take their lickings and get about it. Yeah. I sure hope so. And who are you, by the way? What ministry do you run? Women's ministries is the correct answer. Why don't you stand up and read it like you want to? Go ahead and stand up, Pam. Come on, stand up. We can't hear you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to wait for Easter to start taking the battle to Satan. We want to take it today. Not only towards people who don't know you, but those places that Satan thinks he owns in my life, those secret sins, those things we hide, Lord, may you conquer those things. So as we go out purely in the name of Jesus. We don't have our wires crossed. There's no other thing in us other than to want to see people one to the Lord, brought together as the body of Christ. And then that church in Traver plants churches and sends out missionaries. And Lord, if every other church in town wants to do this, may they be blessed and they go crazy in the name of Jesus to do that. But we are in the end times. And we are waiting the return of our Christ to take us home. But until that time comes, Jesus, we're about doing our Father's business your way. Because it's in your name we pray. It's in your name we breathe. It's in your name we gospelize. It's in your name and reputation that we plant churches. And it's in your name that all the glory goes. And God's people said together, amen. Let's go out and have some refreshments and thank you for being here. Oh, sign-ups. We need people to help.